Trade deadline comes next Monday, 1 p.m. Mountain, but perhaps today is D-Day, as we've seen.
What is happening?
Brendan Dillon, Dylan DeMello, Marco Scandella all move, and it sounds like we might not be done as Alec Martinez, who is expected to potentially move, could be gone by day's end. Chris Johnson with us. CJ, this is quite the flurry of defensemen going today.
There's a lot of overlap in talks between the teams that made these trades. You know, some teams expressed interest in the player and, you know, didn't end up with him and went another direction. And so, you know, I do think that it's not so much a coincidence as, you know, the market started to move and those looking to buy D's, you know, went out and got the job done.
What have we learned about the marketplace? I know there was a thought that this could be a buyer's market. Today certainly doesn't look like that.
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, I think in some ways the Andy Green trade at the market, you know, he got a second rounder over the weekend when he moved to the Islanders from the Devils, and you know, that was a pretty strong price to pay. And for the most part, we're seeing teams get a second round pick, you know, for a lot of these defensemen on expiring contracts. In fact, you know, Alec Martinez, it sounds like the price on him will be two second rounders, although he does still have one more year on his deal. So it's a bit of a different type of trade, you know, that Vegas and the Kings are working on right now. But, you know, I do think it's, you know, pretty good time to be selling, I suppose. And, you know, obviously I think a lot of teams are, you get nervous this time of year about ending up with nothing. And so, you know, when once one move happened, it seemed to set off a domino effect here. And I do think we'll see at least one more trade today.
So what is the latest on Martinez? You've sort of mentioned the price 2 seconds, but is this just two teams talking right now, or is there still an opportunity for someone else to come in and say, we're going to take this to the next level?
Well, I suppose there's still that chance. I mean, until you have the trade call, that's always a possibility. But, you know, I think much like, you know, these other situations, you know, when Washington makes its move, when the Islanders make a move for a D-man, when Winnipeg makes its move, and Winnipeg was one of the teams that also had interest in Martinez, you know, the market does dry up to a degree. I don't think that the number of teams that would have been in on him are in on him now, just because some teams have made other moves. And so, you know, I think that at this point, it seems as though the Golden Knights and the Kings are locked in on getting this deal done. And, you know, we'll see if they can complete it today. The L.A. plays in Winnipeg tonight. So we'll look to see if Alec Martinez is in the lineup or not. And if not, I think they'll tell us which way this is going.
CJ, any feel one way or the other as to whether or not the Flames were in on any of these deals involving defensemen today?
You know, I didn't hear them connected to any of them. And you know, I made some calls this afternoon as this started going. It's not to say they weren't, but I didn't hear that the Flames were chasing any of these guys, you know, at this point. And, you know, maybe they prefer a defensive term. You know, one thing that all these guys have in common so far is they all are on expiring contracts, and they're really purely rentals, I think, for the most part, although there's some trade conditions there. And the St. Louis pick, for example, they resigned Marco Scandella, the Habs get another pick back. But, you know, this was not a market that I have any sense that the Calgary was actively involved in today.
Yeah. Why the flurry today? Like, where did this all of a sudden come from? Was it just because one set it off? Or why all of a sudden today all these deals?
That, you know, I'm guessing a little bit. I do think that because you had teams, you know, like the Islanders were interested in Scandella. I think Washington was interested in Scandella. You know, there was some crossover interest there with DeMello. You know, Winnipeg actually was interested in Scandella as well. So I just think that once, you know, once things started moving, teams moved to their plan B, so to speak, and got a thing, you know, a flurry of things done. And it's such a weird time of year. I mean, we went so long without a move, and now we've had, you know, quite a number here in the last, you know, 2 or 3 days. And you know, I'm sure we'll still have some activity left next Monday, but it's not looking good for the 8 hours of programming.
Yeah, that's for people in our industry, that's the one thing we think about. We're like, oh, yeah, the deals are great. Yeah, we'll break them down. But we're all just wondering if there's going to be anything left over for the actual deadline day.
Well, and there always is, but it might be some nibbles. Who knows? I mean, we still got quite a bit of real estate between now and next Monday in terms of time for these things to come together. And you know, I do think there's pressure points. You know, even if you have a player and you're selling, you know, there's a risk in holding on too long. You know, we saw, remember years ago, Dan Hamhuis in Vancouver just ended up not being moved, and he was a pretty pretty sought after piece at that point, but the Canucks overplayed their hand to a degree and ended up, you know, the teams they were talking to ended up making other trades. And so, you know, there's a little bit of science involved, I think, when the GMs are weighing the right time to pull the trigger. And, you know, obviously today you had some anxious teams to either get rid of their defensive assets or to go out and make that acquisition.
What does the Tyler Toffoli return mean for other pending free agent forwards, or more specifically wingers? I know Kreider, Peugeot, some names that we've prominently heard all season.
Yeah, I would think that Kreider is still in a position to get, you know, New York back more than you know what LA was able to get for Toffoli. You know, probably a first round pick, I think, is something that the Rangers would prioritize in that deal, in addition to getting a prospect, you know, which is sort of the, you know, the basically what the market was set at with that return on Toffoli. And you know, I do think that the Rangers have pretty strong interest there. St. Louis is involved. Boston is anxious to add a forward. They were involved in the Blake Coleman talks before he was traded to Tampa over the weekend. And so, you know, I think we're starting to sort of get, I guess, where the price is at. I mean, there's not a ton of Toffoli's left, I don't think. You know, players that'll get a second and a prospect in return, but Kreider is certainly one of them. I'm interested to see what happens with Pageau. There's been some whispers that maybe the market on him has been a little softer than Ottawa would have expected, which is a bit of a surprise to me. I think he's a natural fit on a good team as a third liner or you know, in that type of role. I think that he brings a lot of the attributes you would want there. But, you know, that was a pretty big price paid by the Canucks. But, you know, when you hear Jim Benning talk today of their injury problems with Michael Ferland being done for the year, Brock Besser's injury being serious, you can understand why they wanted to be aggressive and get ahead of the market and identify the player they want and go get him.
He's Chris Johnston, our NHL insider from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. What about the Canucks, who are currently third in the Pacific Division, and much like every team in the Pacific, in a tenuous playoff spot at best? What did you make of the Canucks spending those assets to go out and make a splash like Toffoli?
Well, you know, there's risk involved, but I like the risk, you know, because I believe that there's value in trying to get, you know, the young core pieces there, the experience of playing big games on the stretch, and for them, they hope into the playoffs. And so, you know, if you're in the manager's chair and you've suffered some tough injuries and, you know, your team's in a tough spot, I think this is the right message to send. I think this is a pretty good player and an experienced player for them to go get to at least bolster what they got. And, obviously the prospect seems to be well-liked by those that follow the prospect game. But, you know, I can understand the impulse to want to go out and, you know, try to get Elias Pettersson a chance to play playoff games and Quinn Hughes and, you know, keep building something with your team, because, you know, they've been out for a while now, 4 years since they played a playoff game there. And, you know, I think there's value to that, even though obviously this deal carries absolutely no guarantees that Toffoli will work for them, that it'll be enough for them to get in the playoffs. I mean, that the Pacific, it feels like it jumbles around every day, which team's in which spot. It's very, very close. But, you know, I will commend Jim Benning for being aggressive, and you know, I think he sees an opportunity as well where it's not certainly the strongest division in hockey, and that, you know, if things line up right, they might even have a chance to go on a little playoff run too. You know, it's not just about getting in. I think there's a chance there to play some games, which, you know, has a benefit for the players, a benefit for the owner, and all those types of things. So, you know, I like that move, and I think given the injuries they have especially, it made a lot of sense just to give the team and the spirit around the team a chance to keep doing what they're doing.
My understanding is the Flames weren't seriously in on Tyler Toffoli, but I'm curious as to what other teams you might have heard that could have been seriously in conversations to acquire him, or was Vancouver kind of the lone big-time suitor?
No, they were a little bit out of right field. You know, I think if Besser's not injured a week or so ago, whenever that was, you know, they probably aren't making that trade today or last night. You know, Boston was a team that had some interest. I think Calgary at least was curious about him, thought about him. He fits kind of, you know, one of the needs they've identified. But you're right, I don't get the feeling it was a bidding war with the Flames and Vancouver by any stretch. I think Boston probably was the most interested other team, and that's kind of interesting in itself because we know they were a finalist, if you want to call it that, for Blake Coleman. They were in the mix on Toffoli and didn't end up with him. It just feels like the Bruins are a team that are waiting to go out there and take a big swing and be aggressive because, you know, obviously they feel they've got another chance to chase the Stanley Cup this spring.
The New Jersey Devils, who have already moved Coleman, traded Taylor Hall, Andy Green's gone out. They've got three first-rounders already. Apparently are going to sit Kyle Palmieri tonight. That, according to Elliot's Twitter from about 5 minutes ago. Is this something where it's difficult to connect the dots or not? And if they've already got three first-rounders, we should probably pencil in for a fourth if they move Palmieri, no?
Well, they'd certainly like to get one for him. And, you know, he's another player that has term, you know, much like Coleman did. And I think, you know, that's turning out to be the real ace in the hole for teams making these deadline moves. I mean, the 18-month rental is a lot different than the 2-month rental in terms of the prices that the teams are getting back. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they got a first for him, even if they get another second and you know, maybe put some conditions on it or get some other assets. I mean, clearly they're restocking here on the fly, and given how miserable their season's been, I think it's a pretty smart thing for them to do. And, you know, they've got a few other players. I know Miles Wood's got some interest from them. They still have Sammy Botman, who's been out injured recently, but is, you know, a right-hand shot defenseman who's is on an expiring deal. But based on what we've seen today, they should be able to get something in the neighborhood of a second or third for him. You know, I think that they're going to end up with a fair haul, much like the Ottawa Senators have already started compiling of picks in this year's draft. And, you know, it should be a good head start to trying to turn things around in New Jersey.
Where do you see the Flames busiest between now and next Monday, or is it still waiting to see what this roster shows you? The difficult part being there's only two games left to view, one against very good Boston and one against very bad Detroit. I just wonder about their depth on the blue line and the timelines for Giordano, Hamonic, and yet also the pressure to make the postseason.
Right, and that's the challenge that they're juggling right now. And you know, I would still expect them to go out there and make some trades. I mean, doesn't feel like the kind of time to sit pat. I know it's been a tough run of injury stretch there, but, you know, given how wide open the division is, you know, it feels like a year where it would make a lot of sense to get involved in that. And I still think, you know, we're not at a point where the market's bare. You know, I still think that there are, you know, options on the blue line. They want to go that way. Obviously, I feel like we've talked endlessly about the need or the want for another forward that can play high up in a lineup on the right side. And so, you know, I would think that you'll see a pretty busy Flames couple days here. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see, you know, what happens in these games. It's crazy how one game can change things. I mean, Mikko Rantanen goes out last night for Colorado. Now, I think they're probably a little bit more aggressive in the forward market. You know, some other teams like the Blues with Jay Bouwmeester, you know, that was really what was the impetus for them to go out and make the Marco Scandella trade. I mean, mm-hmm. as much as there's a lot of long-term planning and thinking that goes into this, a lot of what happens too is a reaction to injuries and things going on in the moment. And that's why, even though it's only two games, those two games might be instructive in terms of what the Flames end up doing.
Chris Johnson's with us from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Okay, and I know that, you know, all the major networks put together their trade watch and their power rankings of who's going to go. Who, from a rental perspective, who is top of your list? Who are the guys that you are quite certain are going to be dealt and quite certain are going to get a haul?
Well, I'd have to put Chris Kreider there. You know, I think for one, maybe that hasn't been as much talked about. I'm curious about Robin Lehner. It sounds as though there's been a little bit of life to the goalie market right now. You know, Carolina's certainly interested in trying to get a goalie. I think Colorado is in that market after seeing Philip Grubauer injured over the weekend in their outdoor game. I've heard some whispers that even Edmonton is at least looking at goaltending as an option. So, you know, to me, it doesn't seem as though anything's going to get done with Lehner and the Blackhawks on an extension. You know, he's probably the most intriguing goaltending name that might move, I guess, unless Henrik Lundqvist wants to waive a no-move clause, and he's not a rental. He's got one more year in his deal in New York, but it's clear he's on the Rangers' plans. But assuming, as I do, that he doesn't want to be on the move, I think Lehner could be an interesting name to go. And then certainly, you know, among the forwards, I think Chris Kreider is probably the most impactful player still to be traded, and one that will get a pretty good return for the Rangers when they make that move.
What's the disconnect in Chicago with Lehner? Like, you take a look at how good he's been for them, I would suggest that he would be the main reason why they've been able to hang around in this playoff conversation. Why not a long-term extension there? Would that be the player not interested? I'm curious.
No, I think it's more just seeing eye to eye on what the contract should be. And you know, in speaking with Robin a little bit the last few weeks, my sense for him is he just feels it's time to be paid fairly. You know, he was obviously not in a good situation coming out of when he went through the rehab and the way his time ended in Buffalo. So he didn't have much of a market to get much from Long Island. He signed a cheap deal there, you know, was a finalist for the Vezina Trophy, a huge part of their big season. Assumed he was going back to the island until just days before free agency when he found out that Varlamov was in their plans. And then, you know, he kind of had to make a quick deal with Chicago. He's getting paid $5 million this year, but it's on a one-year contract. And so, you know, I think he's looking at this July 1st, not that he wants to change the scenery, but that he wants to be paid what he feels he's worth and what other top goaltenders have been paid. And so if that isn't happening in Chicago, which it doesn't seem to be, you know, I do think he's still a decently valuable trade chip. I know goalies historically don't bring as much back in trades, but, you know, I think the Blackhawks feel as though they might be able to get a number one first-round pick for him as part of return. And so, you know, there's certainly some teams kicking tires there. And it'd be funny if he ended up in Carolina. They were one of the other teams that had serious discussions with him last July 1st. And, you know, maybe they're a team that makes that move and is happy to attach an extension to it you know, further that relationship. So, you know, he's a guy that I don't think's probably gotten as much attention as he warrants yet. But I do expect there's at least a reasonable chance we're going to see him traded by next Monday.
I asked you about kind of the power rankings and some of the big names that, you know, you've got your eyes on from a rental perspective. We already mentioned Palmieri and some of the Devils, but, like, who are the names of guys that aren't rentals that would have term left on their contract or could be RFAs when their contracts expire, like controllable assets? Who we've seen Coleman go, we've seen Zucker go, and they fetch quite a return. Anybody else that, from that perspective, is big on your radar?
Yeah, I think Matt Dumba is a name that stands out, you know, and he's got three more years beyond this one. So, you know, there's a lot of security built in there if a team likes him, and certainly teams have called the Wild on him. I think that the Wild are open to making further changes to their lineup and would consider that type of move. You know, I'm not certain that he's going to go. There's no compelling reason that he has to, but, you know, it's one of the guys that's out there. You know, I think the Montreal guys, Thomas Tatar, you know, could be dealt just with how good the returns have been on similar type of players. You know, he's over 50 points right now, 29 years old. And, you know, he's got 1 year left on his deal at a pretty manageable cap number. I could see him moved. You know, again, the Canadians haven't locked themselves in where they're saying they have to do that kind of trade. But, you know, I think that there's at least some possibility there. And you know, that's kind of the market. Palmieri is another one of it. But if you look at, you know, most of the teams that I would label sellers, they're getting a little bit low on that sort of asset. You know, Alec Martinez fits into that for L.A. You know, Florida could be interesting. You know, Vincent Trocheck's name's been out there a bit. Elliot talked about that on headlines on Saturday night. You know, but I think the Panthers are looking to shed some salary. You know, Mike Hoffman's a name to watch, too, out of Florida, you know, in terms of a player that could be moved, because I think that they are under some pressure to trim payroll and you know, maybe give a little shock to the system, to the team as well.
Thanks, DJ.
Appreciate it.
All right, boys. Should be a fun couple days.
Talk to you Thursday.
Chris Johnston, brought to you by McLeod Trail Midas. Save some cash and skip the dealer. Bring your vehicle into McLeod Trail Midas, a full-service shop. Check out their Facebook page or schedule an appointment at midas.com.
Cale McLean coming up in just minutes, the head coach of the Stockton Heat.
Very important return for the Heat as they got Flames prospect Matthew Phillips back this weekend, and he was on the score sheet as they went to overtime yesterday.